You are now listening to the newest wrestling podcast about to take over the nation. The newest podcast that'll make you rethink, reimagine, redefine the wrestling ideas, the wrestling discussion, and the wrestling debates that you were so used to thinking of. All these new ideas, thoughts, and debates will make you just want to scream.
Oh my God!
This is the Atlantic Angle Podcast with your hosts, Zach and Gibby, and Oliver Norgrove.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Atlantic Angle. This is the fourth edition of the podcast, and tonight's edition is brought to you by London Wi-Fi, the most well-rounded, problem-free internet hub in the world. Because my co-host, who does not deserve an introduction this week, Zach McGibby, screwed all of us over the weekend with his silly Canadian Wi-Fi, which encounters problem after problem after problem. And due to unforeseen tech issues, we were unable to come up with anything for the listeners. So apologies for that. I don't think Zach deserves an introduction this week. However, I'm afraid I'm going to have to give him one. Zach, how you doing? And more importantly, how's your equipment doing?
Well, I am doing okay, I guess. I'm hiding underneath the table, waiting for the incoming British attack on me. I'm waiting for the hacking of you into my Wi-Fi so that I never be able to use my Wi-Fi again. And the equipment, I have set up a new Skype recorder, a brand new shiny Skype recorder. That says it's recording in progress right now, and it's apparently reading everything, so hopefully all goes well. This is not our first recording. This is our second recording of the night.
This and our fourth overall.
The fourth overall, yeah.
If I can just have a moment with the listeners just to explain what's going on here. What happens here is there isn't any internet in Canada. Unfortunately, Canada is a third world country still, which does surprise many. Canada is, while it is one of the biggest countries in the world, it was also one of the poorest countries in the world. And without internet, often Canadians find it difficult to communicate over the internet. Now, what Zach here has to do is, you know, like when you go on holiday and you accidentally leave your data roaming on and it charges you loads and loads of money. That's what Zach does, but Canadians get discounts because, as I said, third world country. Canadians will cling on to American internet, American Wi-Fi signals whenever possible. And that is why sometimes we have tech issues. Now, if Zach was in London, where we don't have any issues, we don't have any problems at all, this show would have been up 3 days ago by now. Unfortunately for Zach, he lives in Canada. And is it an igloo you live in?
Yeah, it's a nice brand new igloo. I just moved in here. So very nice.
Oh my god. Well, a slightly different introduction to the show. You wouldn't believe this is actually a wrestling show, in case you're listening for the first time.
Yeah.
This isn't a political show or anything like that. So Zach, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, Oliver. I'm feeling so happy right now.
That introduction should have cheered you up.
Oh, yes. I feel flattered by that introduction. Absolutely flattered. Oh, man. Man. Listen, I apologize, guys, for these tech problems. My antenna, which is made out of caribou meat and polar bear bones, has currently fallen apart a couple of times.
Yeah.
And so I've tried to rearrange everything to make it all better. So.
Is your Wi-Fi password in French? Is that why you can't get into
it? Yes.
Or
yeah.
Is that the problem here?
Yeah, that's what it is.
So basically, we're gonna kind of bring people a slightly shorter show tonight because obviously, in 50 minutes time, we have Raw starting. So obviously, we're gonna aim for about sort of 45 minutes tonight. And I know we received a lot of questions, audio and visual. So. They were pretty good, and also I'd like to thank everybody on social media who offered up the questions. We got quite a nice selection, didn't we?
Oh yeah, we got quite a bit. Didn't get them answered on Saturday, of course, but we've got them. I've got them here on standby. Hopefully my little antenna doesn't break off again during the middle of this recording. So let's just see. Let me just scroll down here to our questions. Got a great amount of questions. So, but before I get into the questions, we had a nice little show planned. We were going to have a nice little synopsis on last week's Raw, which for me, by the way, was pretty good. And I think for Oliver as well, it was pretty good. Could have been better. But
no, it could have been better. Wrestling heavy. It was decent.
Yeah. And we were going to have a Raw preview, but again, my antenna fell off. I had to come off and I had to rebuild my antenna. I went out with my shotgun and I shot my caribou down, looked for some polar bears, got the antenna set up, and hopefully won't fail me now. So let's just see some of the questions here. First question here comes from the Mic'd Up podcast. Also a very good podcast. I like listening to it. Mike asked, if you can make a show on the WWE Network, what would it be?
I would make a documentary where I move to, say, where I move to Canada for a month and try to live there with obviously without food and water and Wi-Fi. And I would just sort of film my experiences there just to show people what, just to show people in you know, the havens of the world, like England, like America, just to say what Canadians have to do on a daily basis in order to survive. And I think that would be quite a good program to put on the network.
Yes, yes. You could show how Edge and Christian and all these great Canadian wrestlers wrestled from wrestling polar bears here in Canada to wrestling wrestlers in the wrestling ring.
Well, Chris Benoit was a Canadian wrestler as well. Let's not forget him.
Who's Chris Benoit? I have no idea who he is. All I know is that the World Heavyweight title was vacated at WrestleMania 20 until Orton found it after his great success of the RKO Vines at SummerSlam. So that's all I know.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll go with that. That's actually quite a good story. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
I'd love to see WWE actually try to convince people that happened, though.
Yeah, that'll be very interesting. I wonder how they were going to edit out the footage, but... Anyways, a legitimate show I could make on the WWE Network. If I could bring back Tough Enough, that'd be awesome. I would if they were able to bring back Tough Enough. I've always liked Tough Enough. The winners of Tough Enough have never been that good, but the only real I believe it was season 4 where they had the most success because they had The Miz. I believe they had Morrison on that season. They had who else was there? There was Ryback, that's exactly who I was thinking of.
And Josh Matthews.
Josh Matthews, yeah. So they had a pretty good cesspool of talent during that season. But other than that, the other guys haven't been really that successful. Maven was a little bit successful when he won it. But
But hopefully
I would love to see a Tough Enough come back. So
for me, I would have a – I've kind of spoken about this before, but I would go for – like a panel of legends doing commentary over kind of modern day current matches or current storylines, and just to see, I'd love to have like The Undertaker and Steve Austin sit down and kind of do commentary and talk over matches whilst they're going on. I just think that would be quite interesting and quite funny to watch, as long as you had decent people on there, not like Hogan and Flair. So that would be what I would put on the network.
Yeah, that's a very interesting concept. I'm sure a lot of other people would agree with you on that. Just like a Legends Roundtable is what I'm trying to get at here? Or,
Doing commentary over, you know, like on YouTube when fans often do commentary over pay-per-views, and I usually hate it. But I just think if Legends were to do it, it would be quite funny because obviously they have a kind of more in-depth perspective on what's going on, don't they?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. That could actually be very interesting, especially if you could bring back some of the even older announcers, kind of like they have Joey Styles there. Maybe you could have Joey Styles like re-record some of the matches.
Yeah,
that could be very interesting. Maybe have some of the older wrestlers. It'd be cool to have The Rock commentate a match. That'd be very interesting to see.
That would be quite good, yeah. Who else would be good? I'm just trying to think. Eddie Guerrero would have been good. Unfortunately, he can't, but he would have been quite funny.
Yeah. Jericho, I think, would have been awesome.
Jericho would be a good one.
Mm. Yeah.
Triple H as well.
Mm. A lot of interesting choices. So, next question here comes from Addicted to DZ. Dolph Ziggler. Thoughts on a possible Barrett-Ziggler feud when Wade Barrett returns?
Well, firstly, I'd like to know who that guy's favorite wrestler is.
Yeah, I wonder too. I mean, Addicted to DZ, the profile picture is Dolph Ziggler holding the Intercontinental Championship. I'm pretty sure it's Biggie Langston.
Definitely
I'm pretty
Biggie.
Sure it's Biggie Langston. Yeah, it's probably Biggie.
I kind of like the idea of a Barrett-Ziggler feud. I am sorry to disappoint. I think Barrett is the better of the two overall, although I'm biased. But I just think Barrett returning will be... I think Barrett returning will be his last chance to kind of main event. And, yeah, I can see it happening. I can see them two feuding over the belt at some point. You never really know because... The booking of both of those two is so inconsistent that you never really know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So let's just go on to the next question here. Oh, I forgot to give my opinions. On a possible Barrett-Ziggler feud, I agree with you. I do also think that Barrett is a little more all-around better. Not saying Ziggler is bad at all. Ziggler can sell like crazy. But a Barrett-Ziggler feud would be awesome. And I don't think we've really seen that feud before, so it could be a little bit more fresh. It could help be a very, solid mid-card feud when he comes back. Although Barrett, in my opinion, is much better than the mid-card because he's been able to work with a lot of good, with gimmicks. Like he has some good gimmicks. It's just that WWE just dropped the ball with him. Like after Nexus, they didn't do anything really significant with him. They had his feud with Orton, but then he got hurt afterwards, which was a massive blow in my opinion. Because I thought that, and the rumors were too that they were going to bring back Money in the Bank for WrestleMania just so that they could have Wade Barrett win it, and so that he could cash in.
Yeah, of course, that injury was so badly timed, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's disappointing because imagine just the many different stuff that could happen from it. So.
Yeah, I was disappointed. But yeah. That's what happens when you have... It's just sometimes it's just a freak accident and nobody really to blame.
Yeah.
Those things just happen sometimes. But to be honest, I think Barrett's better now, I think, anyway. As a performer overall, I think he's better now, personally.
Yeah,
I
agree with you. Mm. I agree with you. So we'll go on to the next question. This one comes from at CB4 Rollins. Where will Roman Reigns fit upon his return?
I'll let you answer that one first.
Oh, I think they're going to save Roman Reigns for a big Royal Rumble return. I think they're going to try and get it. Because I know that WWE is going to keep trying to push Reigns. I know it seems like I don't know because I don't know tech and I don't know how to set up my polar bear antenna, but I know that Reigns is going to be pushed to the moon once he comes back. I know that's going to happen. I bet you he's going to come back to the Royal Rumble. He's going to make a grand surprise return and it's going to make him even more over as a babyface when he defeats whoever is the last man. Whoever is the other guy he's standing in the ring with in the Royal Rumble, I think he'll win the Royal Rumble, and I think he will face Lesnar. So
I agree. I think he's going to win the Royal Rumble this coming Royal Rumble as well. I don't think he's necessarily ready to, but because I kind of have mixed feelings on Reigns. I've written about him before, and picture Reigns versus Lesnar at WrestleMania. It's an interesting match, but if you picture Lesnar standing across the ring from Reigns, Reigns would just look like a nobody to me. I think even after being pushed, I think Lesnar's so far out of his league that I just think it would be kind of silly for Reigns to beat him at Mania, but that may be the way they go.
Yeah.
I just think Reigns is destined for fan resentment.
Yeah, and it's all goes to how they're gonna push Reigns after he comes back, right?
Yeah,
and they haven't really done a great job either because of that horrible, horrible interview 2 weeks ago that had no point to the show. You remember that, right, Oliver? That was all I remember was Sup Cole from that entire interview. So.
Yeah, I mean it was pretty bad, but I just think Reigns, he just hasn't shown enough to kind of warrant that kind of push, and It feels very Cena-ish to me. It just feels very Cena-ish, and fans won't like it, I don't think. Everybody raving about Reigns now. I don't think he's the answer personally. I just don't. I don't know. Maybe he might have a good year, but is he that entertaining? I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. They just need to push him better, and I think they're gonna have a plan for him when they get to the Rumble, so that he can get massively over as a face. So.
Mm-hmm.
We'll move on to the next question here. This one comes from at Layin Smackdown. Is there any way for Rock and Rusev to fight at a pay-per-view considering what happened 2 weeks ago with Rock coming back?
No, that was just a novelty appearance, I think. Yeah. I don't think The Rock is going to get back in the ring for Rusev, no. The Rock would have to get back in the ring for... The Rock would get back in the ring for Reigns, actually, I think. I don't think The Rock would get back in the ring for Rusev because... Due to his filming schedule, not just his schedule, but insurance. The insurance for him to wrestle is quite a lot of money now, because obviously one injury could ruin his kind of standing in a film.
Yeah.
So it's kind of difficult for The Rock to kind of get back into the ring, and I don't think he's going to risk that with Rusev. I think he'll wrestle Lesnar. I think he'll wrestle Reigns. I think he'll wrestle Daniel Bryan. Only those three for me. Only those three.
Okay. I also agree with you that I don't think Rock and Rusev will fight at a pay-per-view at all. I think, again, this was a novelty appearance. I do see The Rock coming back to face Triple H. Mm-hmm. Just considering both their experience with each other, and Rock knows how to work with Triple H. So I think that's what they're going to build to. Mm-hmm. But again, that's just my opinion. There's always a little bit of a chance, but I don't think it's going to happen. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird, but are you a fan of The Rock?
Yeah, I'm a fan of The Rock. I liked Stone Cold better, but you know, The Rock I always thought was unique and was very entertaining on the mic. So.
Yeah, he was one of my favorites as a kid, but now I just don't see. I just don't see much in him now. He's good. He's good to bring back. He obviously boosts the show, but as a wrestler, I don't think he offers much. He's very kind of same old. We've seen this before, sort of thing. So, yeah, he's good to have him back, but I'm just not as interested in him anymore.
Yeah. So here's an interesting question for you. This one comes from at The Working Angle. Thoughts on Dixie Carter and how she's running TNA? Like a bag of fluffy ducks, she's running TNA.
TNA still exists?
Yep.
Oh, it does.
It's still there.
Every week, I'm shocked. Every week. To be honest, when it comes to Dixie Carter, she was in the kind of public eye again recently for sending out ridiculous tweets at ridiculous times. The James Storm tweet, if you saw that.
Yeah, that was that tweet.
That was awful. And also, one of the things I had a massive problem with, and I mean, I didn't expect a response, I didn't get one, but I tweeted her kind of... I did get kind of pissed off at the fact that she said that TNA were looking for the next Eddie Guerrero. And I didn't get pissed off because he's dead. I got pissed off because... Eddie Guerrero had nothing to do with TNA, and there was no need to reference him at all.
Yeah,
it's okay. If she'd have said the next Kurt Angle or the next Rob Van Dam or someone like that, that would have been fine. But Eddie Guerrero has no link to TNA whatsoever.
Yeah,
he died before they even gained popularity. So there was no need for that. I just think she's a stupid woman. She's just not a good businessman, a woman at all. I don't think she cares about wrestling. I just think she's trying to make money for herself. And you can just tell by her actions and the way she handles her business, especially using social media. She's just a stupid person for me.
Yeah, I don't think she's stupid, just in the fact that she is pretty rich. I know she comes from the family line, but she's not stupid enough to get rid of her riches. But then again, she did invest in TNA. The thing is, the way she's running TNA, it's so mismanaged there. They have so much potential in their talent pool to be something unique, something different, you know, from WWE, you know, something that people can watch as an alternative. Yeah. So like if WWE's not doing so great, they can watch TNA as, you know, not every show is going to be great every week. Like obviously WWE has not been great every week, and TNA, you know, has always had the bad shows, mm-hmm. but not recently, but, you know, in the past, they've always had the bad shows. So I think the way that Dixie Carter manages it, yeah, it's not very good. I think it should just be her as the owner, and I think she should have someone else in the role of watching over wrestling operations, and yeah. whoever that may be, I don't know, but Kane, yeah, business of operations, yeah, that'd be interesting. How about this guy named Isaac Yankum? He may be some interest. JBL. Well, I was thinking, I'm thinking about this now. On if they were to get a new guy to just look over, I would, if Heyman was still available, I think they should have just like jumped on the Paul Heyman bandwagon. There's other guys I'm trying to think of. They should have tried to take advantage of what's his name? He founded Reign of Honor. But he's now part of Dragon Gate USA. I think they should have tried to find him. To anybody who knows the name, yeah, he to anybody who knows the name, just you know, send us a tweet on Twitter at Roz Gibby at Oliver NORGROVE.
Ah, see, even you messed it up. I told you, everyone spells my surname wrong.
Yeah,
you fucked up, and you're gonna edit that out, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm gonna
edit that out to make yourself look all good.
Yeah, make myself squeaky clean. And you know what I could do? I could edit out the rant at the beginning if I wanted to, because I have. Oh, I'm gonna edit it out. I'll keep it in my computer just for memories, just in case I ever feel like putting it up online or anything like that, which is never. So let's move on to the next question here. This comes from at Matrix22022. He's got a blog. It's a very good blog. Reviewing late WCWs of 2000 and all that. So, So if you ever want to see some funny GIFs and all that, definitely go check him out.
What does that stand for?
GIFs? I think it's like, it's. I have no idea actually.
I'm gonna find out.
Yeah. But anyways, his question asks, if WWE goes on with the same style of booking and writing, how do you guys feel the product is going to be?
I think it's gonna decline until WWE. Are kind of forced to change their ways and revert back to better, kind of edgier stuff. Because, well, not necessarily edgier, but I just think that, to be honest, a friend of mine at university kind of made a relevant point the other day. He's a bit older than me, in his 20s and 27, and he said that wrestling nowadays isn't appropriate for older wrestling fans. It's harder for older wrestling fans to kind of retain their interest nowadays because they're used to so much better. The product isn't aimed at people like us and him. And I kind of understood and he explained it. I kind of agreed with him. I thought he kind of made a good point. So I just think that if the WWE continue the way they're going, then really, at this point, they're gonna lose a lot of fans because, like he said, there isn't any competition for WWE. There's nothing driving them to improve. So that I think that needs to change, and that's for me is the biggest kind of detractor as far as the quality of their product goes.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that as well. I feel they go on the same style of booking and writing, it's really gonna make the product deteriorate. And eventually, I think fans will start to catch on to it. And that's why I think, you know, a lot of people like, you know, crapping on TNA because of how bad they've been in the past. But really, TNA needs to be successful. It won't be.
That's too late.
Yeah, it depends on how their TV deals go. But again, I also believe that it's going to be a short-term fix. Because of just the way they've been, you know, cash flow negative. But it's just been, but TNA needs to succeed, or at least some sort of wrestling company needs to step up and take that second position of being, you know, the second best wrestling company in the world, right?
Yeah.
So I do feel that if this was 2006 and they were booking like this, I think TNA would have been way more popular. I think people would have started catching on with TNA, because in my opinion, I watched Raw throughout this entire time. Okay, I started watching TNA in 2011. Okay, 2012 after the Hornswoggle thing, and I look back on the old 2004, 2005, 2006 TNA shows, and I honestly thought they were better than some of the WWE shows on those years. Because I thought, you know, wrestling was better. I thought it was more entertaining. I thought the six-sided ring was very interesting, dynamic. You know, all this stuff.
I don't like the six-sided ring. I think it looks weird. I just think it's too much.
Well,
because it's a show. It's not an Olympic event. It's a show.
Yeah.
It's just a show, isn't it? So I don't think six-sided ring is necessary, personally.
I find it unique. I kind of like how it adds a new element to the wrestling, I guess. I can see how it can turn off some fans. With the six-sided ring, but at the same token, I think it makes it more unique, and it makes, you know, TNA more unique as a wrestling company, and it makes them stand out. But again, these are just like last-ditch efforts to try and get popular, right? So
yeah, oh yeah, definitely. They screwed up a long time ago.
Yeah,
and I just don't see them. I to be honest, I get kind of I just want something to happen. I just want them to either go and kind of get it and just sort of get it over and done with, or really start to improve and really kind of push on. But happening, you know, either way, you know, it's kind of, it's hard to imagine either happening at this point.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll move on to the next question here. This comes from @cap_pineapple1. What is the best wrestling promotion outside of WWE and TNA?
Triple A
is very good. Yeah, I like Triple A.
Triple A is kind of growing. It's it was in the news this week, actually, for something. I can't remember what it was, but I know Del Rio and Mysterio are making their debuts there, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're wrestling each other, I think. Mm-hmm. Could be wrong.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening.
I just think I don't think those two. I mean, obviously they're not massive draws anymore, but I think it's a step in the right direction, because it shows that AAA can kind of attract big names and stars. So I think at this point, AAA would be a good kind of dark horse for that. Although there's also Ring of Honor as well, but I don't watch Ring of Honor. I don't know about you.
Oh, I watched the very first pay-per-view that they put out, and I was very impressed on what Ring of Honor had to show.
Yeah.
I'll tell you though, like, a lot of people love Ring of Honor and, like, will live by Ring of Honor. And I can see why. It's just that their production quality is so bad. Like, for a wrestling show, for them, in order to get themselves more popular, they really need to improve on their production values.
Because
I'm looking at these, and it's very subpar, I find, with these wrestling shows. I've seen much better on the indie shows, to be honest. I think Ring of Honor needs to get popular enough so that it could be the number two, right? Because TNA is not going to be lasting much longer, and I think even the long time, you know, TNA lovers will have to admit that TNA is starting to lose its wheels in terms of popularity and all that,
mm-hmm.
and how much it's taken in terms of cash flow. So Ring of Honor really needs to step up. And you know, they're owned by a broadcasting company, so they really need to. The broadcasting company really needs to step up if they really want Ring of Honor to be a big, you know, show. In terms of the best wrestling promotion outside of WWE and TNA, Ring of Honor could definitely up there, but in my opinion, I think it's New Japan Pro Wrestling. I just love all the shows that New Japan puts out. There's a lot of great wrestlers there, and I find just. It's definitely more of a wrestling orientated show, so if you're a massive like wrestling fan, and then you'll definitely like it. There's definitely like storylines and all that. I mean, the hottest act going on right now is the Bullet Club in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
And it's just getting massively popular here in the States. Mm-hmm. So, and I think...
Did you just say here in the States?
Oh, sorry, in Canada, sorry.
You just said here in the States.
In North America. In North America. Sorry. It's the feed from the antenna. I swear to God. It distorted my voice. I like New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's getting really popular in North America. And a lot of some of the current wrestlers in WWE and TNA are wearing Bullet Club shirts, so.
I haven't seen it. I've heard a lot of good things about it, though, so maybe it's something I could kind of get into.
So anyways, we'll move on to the next question. We've got two sets of questions here, both coming from @EfficientTurbo. The first question that he asked, old school steel cage or new style steel cage, which is better?
I'd say the old.
Yeah.
You know, the thick blue cages, I think, are pretty good. I just think cage matches are so kind of tepid now and lukewarm, and they're rarely all that interesting. The cage doesn't really add the dynamic that it used to for me. I don't think you can really argue with that, can you?
No, I agree with you on that. I also like the old school steel cage just because I always thought it looked cooler.
Uh-huh.
And it just kind of looked more real to me. I don't know why. I find these new steel cages are just kind of a little bit too gimmicky. I don't know why, again.
Yeah.
I just like the old school steel cages because they look like legitimate, you know, cages you can put around in the rain and all that.
Yeah,
so. Mm.
Yeah, the new ones don't look very good at all.
Yeah. So next question that Official Turbo sent to us. What was the best WCW match ever, in your opinion?
I didn't watch much WCW. So I really am I'm one of the worst people to ask for you know, WCW questions. I'll try and think of some. I saw a few. I mean, I didn't see much, but I know you watched quite a bit of WCW, didn't you?
Yeah, I went back looking at some of the old shows. There's been a lot of good matches in WCW, mainly from the cruiserweights, obviously. Mm-hmm.
The kind of classic matches in WCW between Rey Mysterio and Chris Jericho, or Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero. They come to mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I did like, I can't really name a specific match that I really liked in WCW. There was a lot of really good matches. There wasn't really a match that stood out to me that made me go, my God, this is like the best match that they've done, you know, ever in WCW. I did like a bunch of DDP's matches, Diamond Dallas Page's matches.
Mm-hmm.
I did like a couple of Sting's. Scott Steiner. Here's an interesting pick for you. Scott Steiner versus Goldberg, Fall Brawl, WCW.
Oh.
Not that bad of a match. It's not that bad.
It doesn't
it's actually
sound like a good match.
It doesn't sound like a good match, but I've watched it, and it's actually – it's not wrestling, okay? It's far from it. But it's like a brawl. It's like a brawling match, and it worked to both guys' styles, and they actually have good chemistry in the ring. So it's actually an underrated match that not a lot of people liked obviously, because it's WCW 2000, right? Nobody really wants to remember the WCW back then. But,
no.
You know, Fall Brawl, Goldberg versus Scott Steiner was actually not a bad match. It's just the build-up. Have you seen that promo video where Goldberg refused to follow the script?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I believe that's the same pay-per-view.
I can't remember when that came out, though.
Oh, like 2001, I think. This was a couple of months before WCW was bought by WWF at the time. Mm-hmm. So, it's an underrated match. Nobody really talks about it. It's not amazing, obviously, but like not a lot of people talk about it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So, so we'll get to our audio question. This audio question came to us from @FightBestFight. You may know him as Ryan Davis, friend of the show. And so is Turbo, actually. Like, Turbo and Ryan Davis are definitely friends of the show. And so let's take a listen.
We hate them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we just like to listen to their questions. No, but we really appreciate all these questions that both guys bring to us every week. Even through these tech issues, they still stick with us and they ask for more.
Your tech issues.
Yes, sorry. My tech issues. Okay. So let's take a listen to this audio question and then we'll give you our thoughts.
Hey, Zach. Hey, Oliver, I'm going to get right into my question. My question to you, the Atlantic Angle, is, are wrestling fans the worst kinds of fans? Because, let me give you an example. Maria Menounos, let's say she goes to a football game, a soccer game, basketball game, something. They put her on the Jumbotron, everybody sees her. What do? They clap for her, they're all happy, she's there to have fun with them. But when she comes into the wrestling world, like she did at Hall of Fame a couple years ago to induct Bob Backlund, even though she has been a wrestling fan since she was a kid, she was basically booed out of the building. And I've noticed this about anybody who comes from the outside world, from professional wrestling. They come in and then we hate on them. Even though they may be fans or not, we just hate on them. And then we want to complain that nobody likes wrestling because they all say it's fake and stuff. But as soon as somebody tries to come in and like it, we all boo them. So, are we the worst wrestling fans? I mean, are we the worst fans in general?
So, Oliver, what were your thoughts on what Ryan Davis had to say?
I think he's right, personally. I think I agree. I think wrestling fans are the worst. Or one, definitely up there with the worst. And it all comes down to, for me, especially on the internet, basically everything. Wrestling fans kind of brand each other as being marks or smarks or internet fans or fake fans. When in reality, we're all just fans. We follow what we want and we have our own opinions.
Yeah, some are just more like into wrestling than others, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, in other sports, like in football, you don't call a football fan an internet football fan because they don't like a certain player. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And you get this in wrestling all the time, and wrestling fans are the worst for this. Unfortunately, some wrestling fans are pretty stupid. but they obviously don't have that kind of passion for it, maybe. But yeah, he brings up a good point, especially talking about Maria Menounos. Was it Maria Menounos? So I think this whole labeling, the whole kind of civil war that goes on amongst the fan base is a huge problem, and I do think wrestling fans are awful for it. I really do.
Yeah, I think I don't want to call wrestling fans awful because that means I'm insulting myself in a way, but I think wrestling fans are unique.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're unique little brand. It's unique because there's so many different levels of wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, you know, marks and smarks and you know, all these names that wrestling fans are associated with now. I've always thought that we were always unique. But again, I can see the argument where we kind of suck in a way, because we could be the lowest of the low sometimes with our wrestling insults. And I think also wrestling fans too, we generally like to see something done quickly. And I mean to say that now because so many fans, when they want somebody and they do give it to us, we then start to turn on them. And I think, in a way, it sort of impacts WWE's mentality into pushing stars. In a way, I don't think it's the main contribution per se, but I think that in a way, WWE like does take a little bit of what the fans say in terms of, we want this guy, but then they think in the future, once the guy gets so popular that everybody likes him, they want him pushed back down, which again makes no sense. Because you've been clamoring, begging for this guy to be pushed. Now he gets pushed and he's popular and you want him to go down. So,
yeah.
It's I don't think we're the worst fans. I've seen trust me, I've seen much worse. If any of you guys are video game fans and you know about Angry Joe and his fans, some of his fans are absolutely ruthless.
I don't know
on Angry Joe's channel.
I don't know what that is, but
Angry Joe, video game channel, a little free plug, I guess, for him. Mm-hmm. He's a good video gaming channel, but I've always seen the fans on Angry Video Game, or sorry, not Angry Video Game Nerd, Angry Joe's videos, and he puts up, you know, live, clips from his live streams that he would do on Twitch, and people would be mad at him because he doesn't have a review, even though it's been, you know, not the greatest year for video games in terms of when they're being released. So,
yeah. I see your point about wrestling fans being unique. I just don't like the kind of unique quality that they kind of portray, because it's just the labeling, the fighting, the branding of certain fans as being this type of fan. It's just unnecessary. We're all wrestling fans with different opinions. We shouldn't be kind of segmented into different types of fan, in my opinion. There's no point in going for different types of, there's no point in creating different types of fan, because that really kind of undermines the fan base as a whole for me.
Yeah, and with you as well. So, anyways, as far as I see, there's no questions that I see. So, sending in questions, send in more questions. Tweet them to me or Oliver or the Atlantic Angle Twitter account. You can follow me at Rosgibby. You can follow Oliver. Just please say last name Oliver, because I know I'm about to screw up.
Oliver, NORGROVE. And the reason why I say it like that, Ryan Davis, is because people constantly, and you heard earlier, people constantly get my surname wrong. And it isn't too difficult, but no. You know, it's the way it goes. So I spell it out, make it easier for people to kind of hear it. So that's the reason why I do that.
Yeah, so, and you can also follow this Twitter account as well, the Atlantic Angle Twitter account, at Atlantic Angle, and you can also tweet us the questions there. You can also send an email. We had the audio question, which was awesome, so we'd like to thank Ryan Davis again for that. If you want to send in an audio question, or you just want to send in a question in general, again, tweet us, but if you want that audio question, you can send it in to our email, theatlanticangle@gmail.com. Definitely take a look at those, and yeah. Still, remember to stay tuned.
To kind of get maybe some guest hosts in or take calls and stuff like that. Just with people who are listening. So hopefully soon we'll be able to kind of do that, and we'll be able to interact with people more.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully we could get those future plans worked out, and hopefully the Canadian antenna will work fine on the next episode.
Hopefully they bring internet to Canada.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. Hashtag Canadian Internet 2015. I can't wait. Thank you all for tuning in to the Atlantic Angle Podcast. And I hope you all have a great day.
Enjoy Raw.